Wow, that was amazing and so not cool. I have to follow that. I feel like we could just rise for the benediction. Thank you, choir, and Ms. Kathy, and Ms. Nyleen, and Ms. Judy. That was absolutely beautiful. Well, good morning, salty people of God. How are you doing? If you remember last week, we told you we were going to be salty and to go and be the light of the world as we talked about Jesus' teaching to us that we were the salt and the light of the world, or that we were to be the salt and the light of the world. And I began thinking about that throughout this week. And what does it mean to be salt? And what does it mean to be light? And I got to be honest with you, sometimes I feel pretty salty, but I don't feel like I bring a whole lot of light most of the time. Maybe you feel that same way sometimes. But I began thinking about what does it mean to be the salt and the light? And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that sure would have been great if you had done that before you preached about it last week. But if we ran, not funny. Okay, we're going to keep moving. All right. But here's where I want us to land this morning is just a little bit of a recap from last week before we move into this next segment, is that when we are the salt and the light of the world, we change the very environment that we go into. I believe that's part of what Jesus is teaching. I believe that he's painting a picture that does a great job of having lots of different meanings that all get at the heart of the matter. But I believe if I were going to try to summarize it, when we are called upon to be the salt and to be the light, that we are called on to change the very environment that we go into. Now, what we change that environment to is still yet to be seen. Sometimes we go into situations and we change it for the better, and I don't know about you, but sometimes we go into situations and it's not quite as good as it was before we got there. Sometimes we're a little too salty. Sometimes we're not salty enough. Sometimes we bring in a little bit more darkness than we do light, or sometimes we come in looking for a fight or whatever it may be. But when Jesus calls on us to be the salt and the light, he is calling on us to change the very environment that is around us. Now, part of this series where we're talking about what it means to be a part of the inside-out kingdom is that that environment begins within. That we're not like a pot that just washes the inside and doesn't worry about the inside. We're like a pot who doesn't worry quite as much about the outside, but make sure the inside is clean. And once the inside is clean, we get to the outside too. It has to be worked on. But one seems to be, perhaps we could even say, a little more important than the other. When I hear Jesus tell me that I am the salt and that I am the light and I am to go out into the world, sometimes I feel like that's just overwhelming. To have the responsibility of being a part of changing the world for the better, of going into every circumstance that I enter into, whether it's with family, whether it's through my social media profile, whether it's through my work environment, around the water cooler. Do we still call them water coolers? We call them something different now? Yeah, around the Slack chat, I don't know. And so, do we make those environments better? Are they the same whether we come or go? Or perhaps do we even make them worse with our presence? Negativity and gossip and anger and fuel for division. Is the world better because of the organizations we participate in? Or is it more divisive and hate-filled? How do we be the salt and the light in the way that Jesus tells us to be? Well, see, I think first off, we fight through our own inadequacies there. It's hard to go and be the missionaries of Jesus, to be the representatives of Jesus, to be like we say in our communion liturgy, that we might be the body and blood of Christ walking in this world, redeemed by his blood, when we don't feel like we're good enough. You see, but in this moment, Jesus is giving us a challenge. Jesus isn't calling us to just simply try harder, because you see, when it's about the external, when it's about the ritual, when it's about the action, we get into a mindset of I just need to try harder and set up more parameters and rules, and then eventually I'll get it right and I will be good to go. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Because the actions in the outside is a byproduct of the inside. And Jesus is saying we're going to get at the inside first. You see, it's not so that we try harder. I don't know about you, but has trying harder ever got you into heaven? Well, we're all still here, so you're like, that's kind of a bad question, Pastor. It's about the grace that transforms on the inside. You see, Jesus wants us to allow our hearts to be touched so that he can change us from the inside out. This Lenten journey, as we look towards Easter and the wonderful celebration of that day, we know we've got to pass through Palm Sunday and celebrate, even though we're going to go to the dinner on Thursday and we're going to hear about how we're going to betray Jesus, and then we're going to watch on Friday these terrible things that happen. And we're going to wait, and we're not going to know the results for 2 or 3 days. But then we get resurrection. But we know that this Lenten journey is about transforming the inside into a heart of love and grace, into eyes that see not the brokenness of this world so that we might judge it, but the brokenness of this world so that our hearts might break the way God's heart breaks, so that our hands and feet wouldn't be hands and feet of punishment and shame and guilt, but might be hands and feet that bring comfort and acceptance and peace, as well as the very things that people need just to survive. We shared just a few weeks ago some of these verses from Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to share a few of them back with you today as we dive just a little bit deeper in them. We're going to start in Matthew 5 with verse 21, and I'm going to share verse 21 and 22 with you. You have heard that it was said that those who lived long ago don't commit murder, and all who commit murder will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with their brother or sister will be in danger of judgment. If they say to their brother or sister, "You idiot," they will be in danger of being condemned by the governing council. And if they say, "You fool," they will be in danger of fiery hell. Now we're going to look at Matthew 5, verses 27 and 28. 27 begins with, "You have heard that it was said, 'Don't commit adultery.' But I say to you that every man who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, you're dismissed. Go and do likewise, right? This one line, as I was rereading these this week, getting ready for today, this one line in both of these scriptures caught me, and I started thinking about its ramifications. But in verse 21, it says, "You have heard that it was said to those who lived long ago." You have heard that it was said. Matthew 27 says the same thing. You have heard that it was said. And then he tells them the thing that they had heard before, but then he brings it and he twists it about and he says, yes, that is still true. He doesn't say that's not true. He's saying, yes, don't do those things. Don't be angry. Don't commit adultery. But what I want you to really know is that it comes from the inside. And when you're guilty of it on the inside, you're just as guilty as if it happened on the outside. But the part that I found so powerful was this idea that you have heard that it was said. And those are powerful voices from the past. I want you to think about the powerful voices in your past. You see, for them, they're hearkening back to Abraham. They're hearkening back to Isaac and Jacob, and they're specifically hearkening back to Moses, right? And then they're thinking about the prophets and the people who told them they should live this way and create this kind of nation, and they should do these things. And he's saying, you've heard those voices your whole life. For you, you've probably heard in your head your parents and your grandparents. But I started to think about some voices that I wish weren't there. And perhaps you have some voices that you wish weren't there either. You see, perhaps there's a voice in your head that's like mine that just simply says all the time, you're not good enough. Maybe there's a voice in your head that says, you were never wanted. No wonder nobody wants you now. Perhaps there's a voice in your head that says, you're not safe. You're never safe. You should fear everybody and everything. And there are more, many more. Wounds we have grown up with, be they from childhood or whether they came at the hands of someone else later in our lives, or whether they've just flat out been there this whole time, you have heard it said. And the honest truth is that we can't go on like this. In a world so full of division and brokenness, but if we're really going to be honest, that division and brokenness starts right here inside of us. And we've tried to justify it. We've tried to say it's okay. We've tried to talk about the good parts of it. And we've tried to say, well, I didn't always act that way. I don't always think that way. I don't always do those things. But the honest truth is that Jesus is getting right to the heart of it, and the heart of it is right here in our hearts. Because the heart of humanity starts right here. The salt and light that this world needs starts right here. The change that is needed in this world starts right here. The end of hate starts here. The love of neighbor starts here. Actually seeing people in need starts here. And being moved to action for those in need starts here. This is an inside-out kingdom. You see, a lot of times, and even during this time of year with Lent, we turn faith into a big book of rules, right? And we talk about the Bible, and we don't mean it negatively, but say it tells us how to live. I would argue it doesn't tell us how to live, it tells us how to be, and those are different things. Jesus is concerned about our being, our eternal soul, who we are on the inside and how that affects everyone else on the outside. When I think about the fruits of the Spirit, I try not to think about them just from a selfish perspective of, yeah, I would love to experience faith and joy and peace and all of those things. I think the fruits of the Spirit are about how we treat people so that they feel those things. I want to treat others so that they experience faith. I want to treat others so that they experience peace. It's not for me, it's for us. I want to treat people so that they experience joy. I want to treat people so that the voice that says you're not good enough, you're not safe, you are never wanted, is quieted by a voice that says you are loved no matter what and are precious, especially when you're not perfect. You are gifted, but you're not better than anybody else. You have shortcomings, but you're not worse than anybody else. You, my friends, this world, this creation, it's not about the rules. It's about being ruled by Jesus. It's about no longer being ruled by fear and angerness and bitterness and lust and hate and division and winning and competitiveness and all the things that begin to tear humanity down to its basest forms. It's about the stuff that God intended this world to have, about the gifts of the Spirit, of faith and love and joy and peace. It's about hope. It's about resurrection. It's about new life where we once thought there was none. It's about goodness that will overcome darkness every time. You see, Jesus wants our life, your life, to be different. He'll forgive our sins. He will heal our wounds. I don't know about you, I think I know a little bit. I'm willing to talk about the human condition on the whole. But I bet you have wounds that you think will never heal. And it may be rooted back to the not good enough, never safe, not ever wanted. It may be rooted in betrayal and trust issues. I don't know what it might be rooted in. But I am here to tell you this morning that even that wound can be healed. And the most powerful ministry and testimonies I have ever seen didn't come from no wounds. It came from scars. And people who went on in spite of their wounds. People who believed with Jesus that it could be healed. People who let themselves be ruled by Jesus and not by the rules. are the people who have a chance at healing. And those people, us people, we people, you people, me people, we can change the world. Not because we're so great, but because we have the living God in Jesus Christ with us, Emmanuel, everywhere that we go. And I believe that no matter how old you are or what is going on in your life, you need to hear this simple statement. You are precious. Not better. Don't let it go to your heads. You get a big head like a preacher. You're not perfect. But if that's the bar, we're all done. But you are precious. You are gifted, but not better than. You have shortcomings, but you're no worse than. And Jesus can help you feel that truth. And not only can Jesus change you, but Jesus can change everywhere you are. One more time. Not only can Jesus change you. Do you believe it? Do you feel it? Do you think at least maybe it could be true? Not only can Jesus change you, but Jesus can use you to change everywhere you are. This morning, as we have our last hymn, you'll be singing and thinking and trying to read along with the screen and make sure your neighbors don't know you don't know what that word means. But I hope in the back of your mind, you'll be thinking, where am I wounded? What is the voices that I've heard it said throughout my entire life? And I hope you can hear Jesus tell you that that voice is not true. That you are loved. You are precious. You are cared for. You are enough. You are safe. You are wanted. And even though you have no idea how, you can change the world. Not only can Jesus change you, but Jesus can change everywhere you are. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you love us, that you care for us in ways that we never even believed are possible. Lord, if we're honest, we've believed the things that have never been true. We believed the fleeting pleasures and happiness of this life, that it would truly bring us joy and contentment, and it hasn't. We believe the voices and the people in our minds that told us we weren't good enough. We should fear everyone. We should put ourselves first, no matter what. It's the only way to make sure we get enough. The voices that have told us scarcity and competitiveness are such wonderful things. We find none of that in your gospel or your heaven. Forgive us our sins, Lord. Make us your people. Forgive us our arrogance. Help us to hear your voice telling us that we are precious and also calling us to help others know the same. In your Son's name we pray this morning. Amen.